All of the newest episodes of Note to Self are now available on the Luminary podcast app. It's free to download, and you can also listen to other podcasts from WNYC studios like Radiolab, Two Dope Queens, Snap Judgment, Here's the Thing with Alec Baldwin, and others. Luminary Premium is the only place where you can enjoy the entire new season of Note to Self, plus new original podcasts you won't find anywhere else, from Trevor Noah, Roxane Gay, Guy Raz, Lena Dunham, and many more. And you can enjoy them ad-free. Start your free trial by going to luminary.link/note to self or download the Luminary app for free.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is New Tech City, WNYC's weekly look at how technology is changing the way New Yorkers live. I'm Anoush Zamarodi. This week, media moguls. We know newsrooms are still trying to figure out how to make money online like they did during the heyday of print. But here's a glimpse of the newsroom of the future.
We ask our writers to write for the social web so that everything they write should be geared towards the eye of, would somebody share this?
That's John Steinberg, the COO of BuzzFeed, a website known for its addictive lists and posts on animals, like a compilation of cats saying hello. Steinberg is at the forefront of what's called content advertising. Media outlets like his and Forbes and The Atlantic are working with brands to make informative or funny advertising that they hope is just as compelling as any article. And in the process, they want to make some money and employ journalists. Picture one group of journalists investigating, writing, posting articles at their desks, and then another doing the exact same thing, but on behalf of advertisers.
We define content advertising as when brands create stories, messages, ideas that explain what they care about or what the products are able to achieve. It's more than just what I call a call to action in a vacuum. It's not saying just buy this stuff because I tell you to buy it. It's more informational and interesting. So everybody works with us, from Coca-Cola to Geico Insurance to Toyota to Samsung. The range is very, very broad.
This sort of advertising model is new. Was this something that you had to convince these brands to do, or were they kind of coming to you with this idea?
So what's interesting about this is there's nothing new about this. This harkens back to David Ogilvy advertising in the 1950s. It harkens back to all of the great advertising that used to be. Advertising got really bad in the past 20 years. It became banners that just screamed to people. When we went and talked to brands about doing this years ago, it was new to try to explain this kind of return to old. But now, in the past year, every brand has sort of come around to it.
Are there journalists now creating the copy?
We have a completely separate team that works on branded content with agencies and brands. They're totally walled off from editorial, so there's a church and state there.
What about people who say, you know what, I need to know that I can trust my news site for being news? Can I tell the difference between that has been paid for and that's being generated because it's interesting?
Confusion has never been an issue that we've had. They're clearly labeled as yellow. You see the brand on it. It's brought to you by, you know, Coca-Cola or Samsung or whoever. That's never been an issue of confusion. I think a lot of the old media competitors, try to bring that up as a way of kind of, you know, throwing a dig at us or something like that.
So is what you're doing here sort of the future of journalism in the digital age? Because frankly, somebody has to pay for newsrooms to operate, right? And
yeah.
We know that ad sales are regular sort of ad
right.
sales are down.
What I like to say is when you hear the traditional media companies talking about the challenges that they have with ad revenue and the challenges that they have of making a go of it, they have a broken ad product. The banner has been around for 18 years. It's virtually unchanged.
And when you say the banner, you mean like when I go onto a website and there's this just thing written at the top?
Yes.
That I never click on.
You never click on. Or even better yet, how about the banner that comes up before you can get to the article that you've got to wait or click past, right? That's a really bad product. It's been a bad product for 20 years. It's been unchanged. So the solution to make journalism work, to make great media work, is to come up with a great product.
About 10 blocks away from BuzzFeed are the offices of the Huffington Post. Its president and editor-in-chief, Arianna Huffington, says she wants people to unplug. Kind of ironic for a woman whose business depends on constant, incessant web traffic.
And it's completely paradoxical.
Less stress, more living is her motto. And she thinks top executives in business and tech are starting to get it.
I think it's a perfect storm. It's two trends coming together. One is that we're realizing that the way we've been living our lives, working around the clock, burning out, considering these the only way to succeed are not working. They're not working at the individual level with a greater incidence of preventable chronic diseases. They are not working at the collective level. Our healthcare system has become unsustainable. And they are not working at the level of the bottom line. And so I think businesses are recognizing that if we integrate wellness into businesses, into prioritizing what we do, it can have a big impact on our productivity.
How do you make sure that you get to the bottom line, keep your businesses in the black, but then also keep those principles in mind?
Well, I actually think they are completely consistent with each other. We have these two nap rooms here. We have refrigerators filled with healthy food. We tell everybody who works here that after hours and over the weekend, they don't have to respond to emails or they need to disconnect. So, and I believe that this is great for retention. It's great for productivity and creativity.
So when it comes to work-life balance and work-life integration, do you think that technology has changed the conversation?
Yes, because right now, frankly, it's not about where you work. It's whether you work from home or work from the office. The big question is, are you always supposed to be on? If you can work from anywhere, are you supposed to work all the time?
Is there ever a day that goes by where you don't look at HuffingtonPost.com?
No, but that's not a pressure for me. You know, I love it, and that's my love. That's my third baby after my two daughters. But I don't feel that I have to, and I don't want anybody who works here to feel that they have to.
I also want to ask you about GPS for the Soul. This is another initiative that you have. It's an app that helps people connect with the moment, calm down. There are some people who might say an app that helps you calm down.
I know, and it's really, for me, like a lot of truth, paradoxical, by which I mean that we often use technology now to learn to disconnect from technology, and that's what the GPS for the Soul app does. It's a free app. You can download it anywhere. It gives you a proxy for stress, your heart rate variability, and then it actually helps you course correct. It helps you de-stress by launching a guide that has the things that make you more peaceful and more serene.
New Tech City is hosting its first ever event at the Green Space this morning called How Tech is Changing the Way Women Work. You can join us online at thegreenspace.org or follow us on Twitter. The hashtag is WomenTech. I'm Anoush Samarodi, and this is New Tech City from WNYC.